Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ as recorded in the book of Mark. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 9. Jesus was talking about how we can achieve greatness in the kingdom of God. We achieve greatness in the kingdom of God not by seeking to be first, but by seeking to be last. We achieve greatness in the kingdom of God not by rising to the top of the pile, but by lowering ourselves to the very bottom. You see, greatness in the kingdom of heaven is achieved by a willingness to serve others. And as Jesus shows us, it's by taking on the attitude of a little child. A little child whose meekness and humility allows them to be receptive to many things that we as adults would not be. So it's taking on that childlike attitude that's essential for being a part of the kingdom of God. In verse number 38 of Mark chapter 9, John reports to Jesus that they had seen someone who did not follow them casting out demons in the name of Jesus. John says, "We forbade him because he does not follow us." This is a very interesting little exchange between Jesus and his disciples. The Lord says, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." I find this to be a very helpful passage. I think it's important to note from the outset that just because this man cast out demons in the name of Jesus does not necessarily mean that he's a part of Christ's kingdom or that he will one day be saved. Remember the warning that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" It is true that just because this man was casting out demons in the name of Jesus, that doesn't necessarily mean that one day he will be saved or that he's a part of the kingdom of Christ. Jesus, though, is urging us not to be too quick in making distinctions, and to recognize that sometimes the faith that we share with other people, even though on the surface it may appear that there are disagreements there, that we should treat them with charity, that we should be kind and loving, and to recognize that even if we don't believe the same thing, the fact that we believe in Jesus means that this person is a friend as opposed to an enemy. I appreciate this passage a great deal because not everyone who listens to this program, not all of my neighbors, we don't agree on every particular point of doctrine. But I recognize that just because we don't agree in practice, that does not make that person my enemy. They're my neighbor. They're my friend. And I need to show them the love and the respect that they, as a human being, deserve. And this to me seems to be the attitude that Jesus is encouraging among his disciples. He who is not against us is on our side. In the next few verses, Jesus warns about causing people with weak faith to stumble. He says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." We need to be very careful with folks who are weak in the faith. I think that that's who Jesus is talking about. And he's urging his disciples in this context to take great care with how they treat those who may not have as good an understanding. Recognize that you don't want to cause a person who's weak in faith to stumble, because if you cause them to stumble, it's better for you to hang a heavy stone around your neck and be thrown into the sea. What's going to happen? Well, you'll drown, right? It's better for you to drown than to cause a person who is weak to stumble. All this, I believe, is in the context of Jesus urging us to take great care in our judgment. We can think that we're on the right side of things, and in reality, be in the wrong. He goes on to talk about hell. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. To me, this harkens back to the end of chapter number 8, when Jesus talks about whoever desires to save his life must lose it. If you want to follow after Jesus, you've got to deny yourself. I don't believe Jesus is teaching us to perform self-mutilation. That goes very much against the spirit of the teachings of Jesus Christ. What he is saying is, if there is some impediment in your life, if there is something that is standing in the way of you entering into eternal life, you need to get rid of it. I know people who struggle with pornography. One of the things that they can do to help control this particular addiction is they can get rid of the ways that they access those terrible images and videos. Maybe it means giving up the smartphone and going back to a flip phone, or what we might call a dumb phone. Maybe it means getting rid of internet access completely in your home for a time. These are the sorts of sacrifices that we need to be willing to make in order to follow after the Lord. And I know people who have had to take these sorts of measures for a time in order to overcome their habitual sin. And it's better to go through the embarrassment, the inconvenience of not having those things available, than it is to enter into hell for eternity. Because the torment that is there, Jesus says, it doesn't stop. The worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. He emphasizes this point again in verse 45, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell and into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Jesus is endeavoring to shift our perspective, to help us to see that the small sacrifices that we make in life, even though they may seem like they're huge sacrifices, in the grand scheme of things, speaking in broad terms, these are very, very small things to lose. It's a small thing to lose an arm, a leg, or an eye in comparison to losing one's soul in the fires of eternal hell. So what are you willing to do in order to attain eternal life? What are you willing to purge out of your life? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to go without in order to obtain that good reward? That's what Jesus is urging us to think about. Look at your life. Evaluate what's going on in your life, and if there are things that you can remove, remove them. Run from them. Purge them out so that that little thing does not prevent you from entering the kingdom of God. In verse 49, he says, "For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." Salt is like the opposite of sin. Remember, salt is something that delays the decay of organic material. You know, we put salt in meat, for instance, in order to preserve it. We need to have that same sort of salt in our life. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? We need to put things into our life that will preserve our life. And it's interesting that Jesus circles back around to the idea of sacrifice. Because what does he tell us? Take up your cross and follow after me. Be a living sacrifice. And every sacrifice that was offered under the old law was offered with salt. God called it a covenant of salt. Salt was incredibly valuable in the ancient world. And salt was symbolic of removing the decay of sin. Just as yeast or leaven was symbolic of sin and its influence, so salt was symbolic of the removal of the decay of sin. Have salt in yourself. You can't offer yourself to God without that salt. Every life is going to be put to the test. God is going to judge every one of us. All of our works are going to be put to the test like someone who is purifying a precious metal. They put that precious metal into a hot fire in order to draw out all the impurities. Well, that's what the judgment of God is like, my friends. God will put our life to the test through the fire of persecutions, through the fire of trials, and ultimately through the fire of judgment. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You cannot hide anything from God. And the judgment of God will see through every lie, every rationalization. So as we stand before the throne of God, my friends, we need to be prepared. We need to prepare our lives and not allow anything into our life that will prevent us from entering in to eternity with him.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that Jesus expects us to obey him. Jesus said many people think they are going to heaven, but only a few will find the narrow way to eternal life. Jesus wondered why people called him Lord but refused to obey him. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Jesus expects us to listen to his teachings and follow what he says. If you want to learn more about the commands of Jesus and the need for obedience, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.